Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about financial stewardship. And on our program yesterday, I played a video about the Barreto family and how that they found themselves moving from a mansion to where Kurt Barreto moved into a storage facility. I mean, just absolutely devastated. And yet God turned their life around. And I believe that God is going to do this for many, many people. I'm excited about these new materials. You know, I've taught on financial stewardship before. And every time I do it, I mean, we get some of the greatest testimonies about what God is doing. But we've never had a book out on it before. And so I have taken this teaching, and this is the very first time that we are advertising our brand new book entitled Financial Stewardship. And then I have a study guide that goes through this book, but presented in a way specifically that you can study and get more in-depth teaching. And this is specifically designed to help you teach Sunday school, Bible studies, and disciple other people with it. And then we have CDs and DVDs on this subject. And so anyway, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous resource for people to get set free in this area. You know, let me just emphasize the very first point that I want to make, and this is the very first teaching in this series, is going to talk about you being a steward of finances. And when we actually put out this book, I've had a teaching series out on this for years that I've entitled Financial Stewardship. But of course, every time we get a book produced, we have a publisher, and this publisher, you know, they research and they market it and they tell us what kind of covers look good, and they comment on things such as the title and stuff. And they really didn't want this title on this book because they said the word stewardship is like work. This is effort. This isn't something that is attractive to people. It's a turnoff to people. And yet I wouldn't compromise on this one. I said, nope, this is what really the key to the whole thing is. People have to start recognizing that they are stewards of God's money. And so this is the very first point that I want to get across. I'm going to be teaching from this parable in Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to spend a lot of time teaching in this parable about the unjust steward. This used to be probably one of my least understood passages in the entire Bible. And as we get into it and start sharing this, I think that many of you will probably relate to what I used to feel about this. And yet now, this is one of the passages of Scripture that I have the most revelation about. I mean, this just revolutionized my life. So I will be teaching through this in more detail, but I just want to take the very first verse of Luke chapter 16 and pull one thing out of this verse. It says here, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." And I just want to draw out of this very first verse that this is talking about financial stewardship. He's talking about a man who was stewarding the affairs and the money of a rich man. And as we start talking about finances and how God wants to move in your life and touch you and set you free and bring prosperity to you, I think that one of the greatest principles in this whole thing is to recognize that we are stewards. The word steward, as defined in the dictionary, is a person who manages the affairs of another, or specifically the finances. And I think that as we start talking about financial stewardship, for me, one of the breakthroughs has been that I don't see my money and the money that God brings to me and all of these things as mine. Now, I know that this is going to be either a disconnect, this will be a turn off to a lot of people, and a lot of people will just immediately say, well, man, I don't want to sit here and listen to this, but I think it's critical, and that's the reason I'm starting with this very point. As long as you look at all of the money, the resources, everything that you have as yours, and it is kind of like you are messing in my personal affairs? How dare you to speak to me about the way that I should steward this money? You're acting like I have a responsibility, like it's not really my money. It's God's money. And people take offense at this. But I tell you, this, I think, is one of the reasons that people get into the mess that they are in. You know, we have this little saying that people, I'm sure most of you watching this program have come across this, these little wristbands and different things. What would Jesus do? WWDJ. And people apply that, you know, about how would Jesus respond to this person if this person did to them what they've done to me? How am I supposed to respond? How would Jesus want me to witness to this person? Would Jesus want me to be living this kind of a lifestyle? And all of those applications, and those are good. I'm not critical of that. But I'm saying that we need to bring that same thought into our finances. What would Jesus have me to do with my finances? Because technically, and I believe that this is a beginning point, this money is really God's blessing that is causing you to prosper. And I understand why some people struggle with this and get offended at this, because you go out and you work a job. You work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Some of you may work two jobs. Some of you work very hard. I mean, you are putting yourself into it. And when you go get your paycheck, you don't just begin to say, oh, thank you for giving me this paycheck. Many times you don't even thank the Lord. But you look at it as, this is in response to all of my hard work. I earned this. This is my own blood, sweat, and tears, and this is mine. But did you know that that really is an incorrect concept? You did nothing to cause yourself to be born at the most prosperous time in history, where there is unparalleled opportunity for advancement. You did nothing to force this system that you were born into, to where you have representative type of governments, democracies, where you have the opportunity to go out and work. You could have been born into a situation where there was caste systems and you were destined to a certain level of poverty, and if you got out of it, you would have social criticism and rejection and things like that. You could have been born into a situation where you were a slave and you had no opportunity for advancement. You didn't do anything to cause this. It's God that caused you to be born at this time, to be born into relative freedom, where you have opportunities to succeed that other people have never had in the history of the world. I mean, today we have things like just this television program that you're watching. Through television, you can begin to do things. For instance, in my own situation, I am reaching approximately 3.2 billion people every day on television. Did you know that in years past, nobody had the opportunity of doing that, speaking into so many lives and doing the things that I'm doing? The technology that we have today is giving us opportunities to do things that you couldn't do. Many of you can work from home. You can make money on the side through the internet. There are just unparalleled opportunities. And then you add to that, many of you have gifts and talent. Well, let me rephrase that. Every one of you have gifts and talents. You may not have explored them yet. You may not have developed them. Some of you may have been so wounded and hurt that you don't believe you really have anything to offer anybody. But God has given every single one of you talents and abilities. And you may be sitting there saying that's not so, but it is so. I can say that based on Scripture, and I'm going to be showing you a lot of these things based on Scripture. But God has given you, like for instance, being an artist, having the ability to draw and to do things. And not only in drawing, but I mean, some of you can sculpt, some of you can make things, some of you are mechanical and work with your hands. Others have an administrative background to where you can just see how to manage people and you're a leader and can put things together. Some of you are an accounting type of thing where you love working with numbers and you have a flair for it and you can just figure things out. And on we could go. Did you know that every one of you were given talents and abilities by God? And you may be out there working a job, and I mean having to work hard, but God gave you these talents. God gave you these opportunities. I've also heard that the difference between a person who thinks rationally and a person who is, mentally challenged, retarded, whatever word that you want to use for that, that it's just very minor difference in chemicals in a brain. You know, all the Lord would have to do is just stir the chemicals in your brain a little bit, and instead of you being productive and able to work and all of these things, I mean, you could be incapacitated. You didn't cause your health. You didn't cause the opportunities that you were born into. You didn't cause this prosperity that the world is experiencing today. You didn't cause the technological advances. You didn't give yourself your own talents and abilities. And so I say all of these things to say that whether you realize it or not, the truth is you are a steward. God created you. You did not evolve from slime. You didn't just happen. Whether your parents planned on you coming or not, God knew that you were coming, and God created you with a purpose. And God has given you talents and abilities, opportunities. Whether you are a male or a female, whether you are born into the United States or into Europe or into India or Africa or wherever you are, God has placed you there. There are specific things for you to do that nobody else can do. There are talents and abilities, and God has a plan for every single person's life. You know, this is in a sense a separate teaching, but I've got teaching that teaches on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. And in there I make a major point of that He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. God had a purpose for Jeremiah before he was even formed in his mother's womb. And then in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, Paul comes along and says the same thing, that God who separated me unto the gospel from my mother's womb. Isaiah said a similar thing. You can find in Psalms 139 that it says that God curiously wrought us in our mother's womb. And I forget which translation, I think it's the NIV, says that all of your parts and all of His purposes for your life were written down and recorded before you were even born. The point I'm trying to make with these statements is to say that many of you are experiencing a subpar life. And you may be going through hardship and you may think that, man, I'm a failure and I just can't prosper. I'm saying from Scripture that is absolutely untrue. God has created every one of you. He caused your gender. He caused your talents and abilities, your relative opportunities. Everything about you is designed by God. And whether you realize it or not, God has put a potential on the inside of you, and He has a perfect plan for your life, and the only way you're ever going to experience it is to recognize you are a steward of His health, His talents, His abilities, and specifically, we're going to be talking about finances. And all of the finances that come to you is God's blessing on these talents and abilities and opportunities that He's given you, and God expects you to steward them. He expects you to recognize that it is not just yours. It is not up to you to how you want to spend all of your money and what you want to do. And I tell you, until you learn this lesson and until you feel a responsibility to God to steward everything that your gifts and talents and abilities produce, and then the finances that it brings to you. Until you see that, and until you start becoming responsible to God, answerable to somebody for the way that you are spending your money, you are not going to see financial breakthrough. If you just indulge your lust, and if you decide that, man, I'm going to get anything and everything I want, you know, I've heard that there's people that when they get discouraged and depression and things like this set in, that they go on a spending spree. They go on a shopping spree and they start buying things. Either, you know, women, it's clothes and jewelry and things to make you look more attractive. Guys, sometimes it's gadgets that somehow or another increase your ability to work and do things. But whatever it is, you do these things because you're depressed, and somehow or another you go out and start doing that. See, that's not stewarding God's money. That is giving into your lust. That's giving in to things. And until you break this, until you begin to recognize that it's not just yours, that God is the source of your prosperity. I know that many of you have never thought this way. Many of you, the things that I'm saying, they are just totally foreign to you. And you look at it as, this is my money. And when it comes to things like what the Scriptures teach about a tithe and about giving to others and helping the poor and doing all of these things, many of you take offense at that because you say that this is my money, and how dare that I'm going to take my money and give to a church or to a ministry or somebody that's preaching the gospel or help the poor. As long as you see things as yours and you don't feel any obligation, any responsibility to God and what He instructed you to do with your money, as long as you have that attitude, you are not going to prosper financially. You are going to have to get to the place that you recognize that God is the source of all of the blessings in your life. Whether it's obvious, whether it's subtle, you've got to come to this place that, God, without you, I am nothing. I can do nothing. I would have had nothing without you. And until you reach that place and then begin to start saying, all right, Father, so what do you want me to do with my talents and abilities? And then all of the finances that those talents and abilities and opportunities that you gave me and the money that it brings to me, what do you want me to do? What kind of lifestyle do you want me to live? And I know that many of you are thinking, I'm just beginning to work my way into you denying yourself and living in a tent someplace and doing without. I'm not talking about God being El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. God doesn't mind you having things. God wants to bless you the same way that we want to bless our kids. I'm not talking about living an austere lifestyle where you have nothing and you just go through life poor and broke. I have to say this because there has been a lot of teaching from the church. The teaching that I was brought up in was basically that you were supposed to be poor, that there was something ungodly about having finances and all of the things that it could produce. I remember a little joke in the church that I grew up in, and the people would say, God, you keep him humble, the minister. You keep our pastor humble, and we'll keep him poor. And that's the way that, I mean, they just thought that pastors were supposed to do without. I remember that we had a parsonage on our property of the church that I grew up in. And I tell you, that parsonage was a dump. Nobody should have had to have lived in that. But they thought that's good enough for a preacher. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that God is just wanting you to do without. But I am saying that you need to come to a place that even though God will take care of you and God will supply and He paves His streets with gold and God has pearls for His gates in the New Jerusalem, I guarantee you, God is not cheap. But at the same time, it is not up to you to just indulge every desire that you have and to do anything and look at this is my money. And God, I'll give you a little tip. I'll give you a portion. No, you ought to look at the whole thing as being everything that you have, all of your opportunities, all of your gifts, talents, everything that you have comes from God. You know, there's a passage of Scripture. I'm not going to turn over and read it, but it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And David was getting ready to build the temple, and the Lord told him he couldn't do it because he had been a man of war and had shed so much blood, and that he would raise up his son Solomon to build the temple. So David gave over $5 billion worth of gold, silver, precious stones, and things like this from the government treasuries towards the building of the temple. And then this is in 1 Chronicles 29. It's near the very end of his life. And he brings a personal offering from his own resources that was the equivalent of $2+ billion worth of gold, silver, and precious stones. I mean, David was not a poor man. He had already given $5 billion from the government. Now he's giving over $2 billion from his personal account. And he's giving it to Solomon in the presence of all of the Israelites and talking about encouraging his son to build this temple and to do it. And the people were so touched that David had given such a a huge offering from his own resources that they began to give. And they wound up giving more than $2 billion, over $3 billion. Altogether, in one day's offering, there was an equivalent of over $5 billion worth of gold, silver, precious stones that came in dedicated for the temple. And when David saw this, he began to pray a prayer. And I'm paraphrasing it, but it says basically that, God, who are we that we could give such an offering like this? And he goes back and mentions the fact that it wasn't very many years before that the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. And they came out, and now they had turned into this mighty nation, and here they are giving billions and billions of dollars worth of gold, silver, precious stones, etc., for the building of the temple. And he's saying, God, who are we to do this? And then he made this statement, and he says, and besides, all we've done is give back unto you that which was your own in the first place. You know what he's saying? He's acknowledging that God was the source of the blessing for the nation of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, they had been slaves for hundreds of years, and they had nothing, and yet God told them to go borrow all of this gold, silver, jewelry from the Egyptians. And after these Egyptians had seen the mighty hand of God, I mean, they were generous. In a sense, they were paying these slaves back for all of the money that they had taken from them and the oppression for all of those years of captivity. And when the Israelites left Egypt, they were just, I mean, filthy, stinking rich. And then God brought them into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And I mean, they had an abundance. They prospered more than other nations. And because of all of that, David is saying, God, everything that we've given to you today was already yours. You know what he's doing? He's expressing the attitude of a steward. Father, you're the source of all of this blessing. All we've done is take and give back unto you just a portion of what you've given to us. And I'm telling you that if you are going to prosper financially, you're going to have to start with this attitude of being a steward. You're going to have to recognize that God is the source of everything that you have. Your health, the time that you were born, the most prosperous time in the history of the world. I could spend a lot of time verifying that, but I believe that we have unparalleled opportunity. The technological advances, your talents, your abilities, the government systems, just on and on and on we go. God is the source of all of these things. We are living in a time in history where most people who have lived prior to us would have done anything to have your opportunities, your advantages. These things are blessings from God, and God is the source of everything that you've got. So you need to start from there and say, Father, it's yours. What do you want me to do? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to start teaching from the Word of God about how God told you to steward the money that comes as a byproduct of His blessing and His opportunities that He's given you. And I tell you, this is going to make a huge difference in your life. I really believe that. Once again, let me just mention that we have a brand new book out on this, a brand new study guide that goes along with it that covers everything in the book, but it's in a format for you to study and teach other people, disciple people with this. Then we have DVDs, CDs, and also this video that you saw in our program yesterday is a part of a financial breakthrough video series that we have. Listen to our announcer. He'll give you more information, and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is a Steward? Free of Charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
In 2006, there was the mortgage implosion. All those subprime mortgage lenders started going belly up.
And the economy then crashed, and we were one of the first areas to get hit hard.
The banks that I had, 9 or 10 banks, they all collapsed and closed their doors the same week. And I had well over $1 million worth of loans with those banks. All my commissions that I drew from were evaporated. I had no money saved.
Everything that we had had and everything that we had, we were lavishing in, literally was just pulled from under us overnight.
To see the full miraculous story, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on Today's TV News Story. Find out what's happening to the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida this Wednesday, April 11th, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 12th through the 14th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th, and in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma May 5th through the 6th. He'll also be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 10th through the 12th, at the Solid Rock of Atlanta May 13th, in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Conference June 1st through the 4th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference July 2nd through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net. Basically.